we're still standing, let's pray, shall we? Father, I want to thank you right across this place this morning. We thank you for the power of your love. We do thank you for birthdays, God, in that every one of us was born for this significant moment in history. Thank you, God, that you have a great plan for every single life represented here. God, I thank you today, Lord, as we celebrate not only our birthdays, God, but your goodness in our lives. And in Jesus' name, I pray right now, God, let your word totally determine and realign our destiny and our purpose in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give Jesus a huge hand clap today. He's worthy. And you can take a seat. God bless you. Let's get into the word. Are you good? Can you see me here? Am I right here? Do you want me up there? I'm cool here. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. We're going to the Word of God. Wave it around. Make the devil mad with it. Wave it around a little bit. This is the stuff that'll change your life, I tell you. The Word of God. Always have that in your life, all right? And it says there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, page 762, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always," everybody say always.
Always.
"Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And I want to bring a message to you this morning. I want to title it that, just a very simple title this morning, Against the Odds. Against the Odds. Every one of us faces difficulties. Every one of us faces thought patterns and circumstances. Situations in our lives that would try to stop us, hinder us, restrict us, pull you back from being living in the excitement that God's got for you. But I want to determine this morning that against the odds, we have the victory in Jesus' name. Why? Because we are strong and steady. Strong and steady, okay? The Bible says in Lamentations, everybody say Lamentations. That's one hard one to get your head around, Lamentations. But it says there, I'm just going to find that verse for you because very powerful verse, but it says this. I don't know what I did there, but here we go. Here we go. Lamentations 3:22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Boy, if anybody's steadfast, God is steadfast in his promise to us. Even though we may be a little bit of a roller coaster ride at times, can I declare to you this morning that the steadfast love of God will never, ever fail you. He is steadfast. Even when the circumstances don't look great, I want to declare to you this morning, he's steadfast. Even when the odds are against you and you feel like, where are you, God? He's steadfast. Even when everybody lets you down and you've tried your best and done your darndest, I want to declare to you today that he's still steadfast. And I don't just say this today. I've just had a birthday, okay? I'm 2 times 30 now, 2 times 32 now. I feel like 2 30-year-olds, put it that way. I feel as energetic as that. I feel as spontaneous and enthusiastic as that. And but I've just had a birthday, and I can declare to you today that Julia and I made a decision to follow Christ at the age of 25. We hadn't been in church. We weren't churched people. We weren't kind of religious or anything, but we discovered Christ, and I can declare to you today that God has been steadfast. Has it been a rosy journey? Because some people think it is. No, it hasn't. We've experienced the nightmare of sickness, death, health problems and issues, but I can stand here today and say to you that through it all, God has been steadfast. And it's not about the now, it's about down the road. It's never about what you're experiencing. Has there been financial crisis? Yes, there has, but we've been steadfast. Julia just leaned over me this morning and said to me, it's all about the giving. And I want to tell you, we've been steadfast. Even through incredible financial difficulties, we have been steadfast to a God who is steadfast in our giving. And I want to tell you, through it all, he has been a rewarder. And the Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Christianity is not just about the emotional fizz of when someone prays for you. Christianity is literally about being a disciple of the Word of God and living in the victory that the Word of God promises in your life, okay? And thousands across the planet. This is not just something for a Sunday morning warm up and get enthusiastic from Don McDonnell. This is about the Word of God is steadfast. It's a rock. Zahn prayed in the prayer meeting this morning that we stand upon the rock of promise, and it's the Word of God, and I can declare to you today, no matter what you're going through right now, he's still a God of victory. He's still a God of victory. And I'm talking about, see, people will say, well, that's okay for you. What have you experienced? So the nightmares that every one of us, everybody's experience is very real to them. You've got to realize everybody's experience is so real to them. We can't even relate to. We may go through sickness, but another person will go through sickness in a whole different sphere and experience different pain to what we pain. So it's very difficult to say, yeah, I know how you feel. In fact, probably good to never say that, okay? Probably good to never say. I remember sitting beside a lady on an aeroplane one day, and it was one of those situations. I always try to be the last on the aeroplane so I can choose my seat, which I shouldn't probably talk about. There might be flight attendants even in the house. But it's something you probably, there's a pilot in the house too. But you probably shouldn't do this stuff. But I like to wait until my name gets called. It makes you feel important. And then you board the plane, which is all terrible stuff. Don't do that because it costs the airline money to stay at the gate. I've learned all about this now. It costs the airline money to stand at the gate waiting for you before they try to remove your luggage, and then you turn up and then you are on the plane. But the good news about it, you can pick your own seat. Anyway, I walked on the aeroplane very late one day and just saw a nice seat, so I thought that'll do me, and I sat down beside this young woman, and she said to me, I'm very surprised anybody's sitting beside me, because I asked that I be specifically seated alone because my mother is very ill and dying. And so some of us have been through, I've been through that situation. I could have related to, I know how you feel, but it would be ridiculous. The clever way to respond is, this could be a little lesson on how to evangelize today, because the clever way to respond is, man, how awful that is. I don't know what that would feel like for you. Can you please tell me how you're coping with that? Is there anything I can do to help you today? And talk to her in a loving way. And not to say, I know how you feel. You know, my son got killed 10 years ago. And I understand what the brokenness there. That would be ridiculous because we try to take on that we know how the other person feels or what their journey has been. Everyone's journey is different. So to be strong and steadfast is to, number one, know that it's the rock Christ Jesus on whom we stand, and we relate from there, not from ourselves. We relate from the rock Christ Jesus, who always understood. He was the best communicator there's ever been. Speaks to a woman at the well and unfolds her life. He's the greatest communicator. Let's take some lessons from a God who gave us incredible examples of how to be steadfast and how to be strong. To be strong doesn't mean you're better than anybody. It just means that we've got a great God who gives us, who gives us a capacity to live bigger than we ordinarily would. And when I said that to that young woman, and she began to weep and tell me how bad it was for her mother, and she said, this is incredible. You see, God will use you. Everybody wants to be used by God. I'm an evangelist, okay? So I get used by God a lot because I make a point of studying to make myself available to people in their brokenness, because I realize that we're not all whole. You can pretend that you're okay, but really we're all battling with something. So to be strong and steady is to base your life on this and to follow his example and live out of the victory of his word. And as I talked to this girl, and she said, this was an amazing thing she said to me, even though I wasn't meant to be sitting there, but it was a God-appointed moment, and I do believe in divine appointments. Anybody else believe in? I believe divine appointments. I believe we are divinely appointed. I believe we can sit in the right seat at the right time. I believe that we can be appointed to be the answer to someone's question if we'll just have the right heart. The worst part is to get arrogant about our Christianity or to get arrogant about it. But man, Jesus said the best thing you'll ever do is just be kind. Just be kind. Even heard our Prime Minister talking about it at the UN this week, about we want to be a nation, a government that's kind. And I mean, that's pretty. But let's, as a church, I mean, this is what the church is meant to be doing. Let's not hand it over to the government. We should be the kindest people on the world, on the planet. Whether it's flat or round, let's be kind. Anyway, she responded to me. This is how she responded to me. And she said, man, thank you. She said, you know, and I hadn't mentioned God, all right? Sometimes a good thing not to mention, like, ooh, I'm a Christian. Let me pray for you. I've got all the answers that can fix you in 2 seconds. We've got magical fixing powers. Because the reality would prove that no, we don't. And sometimes we hurt people and disappoint them and rock their boat. She said this to me. She said, you know what? She said, I've been so broken and I don't know what to do. And she said, but I wished I still had contact with a guy I used to teach with, and he knew the answers to these things because he knew about prayer. And even then I thought, wow, how incredible is that? And I could have said, well, heck, I know all about prayer too. I might be better than the guy you knew who you were teaching with. But I didn't do that silly thing. I continued to listen to the nudge of God. And I said, tell me a little bit about the guy you knew. And she told me his name. And the funny thing is, I know the guy. So I didn't pipe up too quick, but I was so excited on the inside. And before we got off that airplane, I said, you know what? I said, I know the guy who you used to work with. And there's a possibility, would you like me to get him to connect with you? And he could be there for you. And it was pretty, it's amazing. We sometimes let's learn to be a link in the chain. You know, to be strong and steady is sometimes to be a link that doesn't collapse under the pressure. Because we all want to be the end of the chain. We all want to like, man, I've got all the answers. I'm the end of the chain. Man, just give it to me. But the reality is to be a link that would empower a chaplain like Enroy, that would empower the counseling skills of a Holy Spirit counselor like Jane. Maybe I shouldn't tell everybody about that, but there you go. But to be a link in the chain that empowers somebody who can carry an answer into their lives would be far more important than just to be the answer every moment. Because I think we fail too many times at it. To be big enough to not want to have the glory in your moment, but to understand what it is to live with delayed gratification. Because I think that's one of the great answers in my life. My dad taught me about delayed gratification. He said, Don, if you have to reward yourself too early, you're going to fail in life. If you have to be rewarded before you cross the line, you'll fail in life. But if you can just resist having to be rewarded in the moment and to hold on to the truth of what you have birthed within your spirit and run with that, and don't quit on it, you will see the victory. And anyway, I said to her, you know what, I believe that I could connect this guy to you. I'll give him a call. I haven't seen him for a long time, but I'll give him a call when I get off the aeroplane, because you're not allowed to use your telephone on the aeroplane. So when I got off, I called this guy, and I said, I'd really love you to connect with this lady. Kelly was her name. And I said, I'd really love you to connect with Kelly. She's kind of looking for some real help at this moment in her life. Her mother's very ill. Do you know what? He called her. They met at Auckland Hospital. He prayed for the mum. Incidentally, she didn't make it, but he prayed for the mum. But do you know, as a result of that, the mum gave her life to Christ before she passed into eternity. The daughter got saved and received Christ as a saviour. And that's all about being strong and steady. It's about being an answer but not necessarily having to be the hero. We can be heroes by being strong and being steady and going the distance. And I think that's an incredible verse, because it challenges me about every day of my life to live for the victory of somebody else. It challenges me not just to live for myself, but to live for others, and that they are probably more significant than we could ever. The Bible determines who was wise and who was foolish by how much light they shone. So the Bible says, are you wise or are you foolish? And so we would say, yeah, it's about my knowledge. But Jesus says, how much light are you shining? The five virgins who had their lamps full shone a light. And so what light are you shining in your life this week? Let me challenge an action point on the message today of what light are you shining in every area of your life, so that people who are broken, people who are desperate, people who you don't even understand, like the lady this week who phoned me on a business deal, and she phoned me, and I could hear, I want to be someone who knows the heart of God. I want to be someone who can feel the heartbeat of God. I don't want to just be a religious Christian. I never, ever wanted to be. One of the reasons I didn't become a Christian in the earlier years of my life was because I didn't like the Christians I met. Sorry. But I didn't like their arrogance. I didn't like their attitudes. I didn't like the way they just... But you know, I always thought there had to be a God who loved me more than you could ever imagine. I always knew there would be a God who didn't judge me and condemn me and would enable me to live with the freedom of not living in my past experiences of brokenness, but live in the victory that Jesus won for me today. And I believe that all over this place today, if we could learn to live in the victory, Jesus won the victory for us. His grace enables us to be power packs that shine light wherever we go. To hear his voice. The greatest thing in my life, I think, would be knowing the voice of God. The greatest strength I have is not being clever in the word or being clever with my, you know, been to Bible college, studied the word of God. It's not about that. It's about knowing the voice of God today. Because I don't want to have an irrelevant word from the past that I speak into your life that may have meant something back there that means nothing in our community today. Because for God to be real in 2018, we're still in 2018, I believe God has a specific word. God gave us a word for this church last week, and said, God's about to rip the cork out of what was birthed 40 years ago for the church of this nation that would bring a healing, restoring revival. I want to be a part of that. So I want to hear God's now word. I want to be in God. I want to hear the whisper of God. I want to be tuned in enough to be able to know, hey, God, that's you. Or, hey, that's my stupidity wanting to tell the girl next to me, oh, I know how you feel. I went through that 10 years ago. That's my stupidity, my arrogance, my own self-gratification, if you like. But to hear the whisper of God, to tune in through, people say, why do you fast? Because I want to know the whisper of God. Why do you pray? Because I want to know the whisper of God, because I want to have it clear in my heart. I don't want to just hear what Don McDonnell's saying. I want to be tuned in to the Spirit. I want to be active, and I want to be as relevant today as I was when I got born again at 25. I want to affect my world today like I did then. And so when I'm talking to this woman, the salesman on the phone, I hear brokenness in her voice. I hear just a cry for help. I heard it in her voice. And I said to her, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on, but you sound like you're struggling. Is there something going on? And she started telling me her life story, like over the phone, started telling me how this has been the worst month of her life. She said, I have a terrible migraine headache right now. I can barely focus on my communication with you. And I said, man, I'd love to pray for you if that's okay. And she said, oh, yeah, that would be nice, thank you. And then she got on with the sales talk. And I said, no, I said I'd pray. And so it's a bit like a Christian I met in the supermarket a little while ago. And I said, well, you're having a day off. And they said, yeah, we're not feeling well, so we're having a day off in the supermarket. And day off, sorry, and have gone shopping. That was what the, and I said, why don't I pray for you to get healed? And they said, oh, that would be really nice, thank you. Thinking that I'd pray when I get home. By the time I get home, I've clean forgotten about you. I'm thinking about something else, all right? I said, no. I said, I'd pray now. They were a little embarrassed about that because how dare you pray in the supermarket? But right there, we pray on the moment, on the dot. When we're hearing God's voice, we bring his relevance to birth in our world. The only reason that Christianity diminishes today is there's not enough eyewitnesses anymore to the power of an unseen God who can turn up in your moment. And I believe that God wants to turn up in the moments of our lives. And so on the phone, I said, no, ma'am, I said I'd pray for you right now. And I start praying for her, and God gives me a word of knowledge in the middle of the prayer, and he begins to explain to me some of the brokenness and how she's had an assignment directed against her and people been attacking her over the last month, and that's where her brokenness has been due to, and she bursts out crying on the phone. Then I couldn't get off the phone because she wouldn't stop crying, and she said, I've never felt peace like this. I feel like God has come into my office. And it was just awesome. Over the phone lines, we were able to birth God right into the office of this girl. And I got to pray with her and see God totally meet her in that moment. And then she says, I've got to give you my phone number because I want to hear from you again, because this is the most powerful thing that's ever happened in my life. That is the God we serve, if we'll be relevant, strong and steady. Strong and steady. It's not about, hey, I'm cool. It's about how much light do you shine in darkness? Because the Bible clearly determines that the amount of light that you shine would declare and reveal the wisdom that's in your life. I want to be wise, so I want to have God's light shining in everything I do. So is your lamp filled today? Is your lamp filled? Are you overflowing, you know? I'm speaking at a conference this week on the title Overflow. And the reality is your lamp filled? Is your lampstand got enough oil in it to overflow and touch the world around you? Maybe you need to be refilled. I don't know. But let's not miss the opportunity that God puts before us today right here in this meeting to grab, so that you can be a minister of God in your world. That's whoever you are. Because it's not about Pastor Don strong and steady. It's about everybody strong and steady as we go together in Jesus' name, okay? So I just believe this. I do believe that the opportunity costs are staggering if we refuse to be activated with the love of God in us. The costs are staggering for our community, for our world, of people who are walking through pain, people who are walking through difficulty, people who need a miracle. And if we miss God, we miss an opportunity to break through revival in our world. So let's be on to it in Jesus' name, okay? You don't know who's stuck in pain in your world this week, but God will use you. See, we get so concerned with our own pain. Get so concerned with your own birthday, if you're not careful, that you miss out what God's doing all around you. But I want to be a part of what God... See, faith, and we're faith people, right? But faith speaks a different language. Faith just totally ignores the circumstances and speaks the language of victory in spite of the circumstances. That's how we can be strong and steady. Because your circumstances might tell you you're too sick to function. Your circumstances may tell you that you are not clever enough to speak into a circumstance. But my Bible tells me that you are empowered from God on high. Yee-haw! You are mighty through God. It's either we believe. The movie tonight, man, don't miss it. I mean, I literally wept in that movie because I thought, boy, how we've misunderstood a mighty hero of faith. In fact, the Bibles we read were written by, most of the New Testament is written by a guy called Paul. Saul, he used to be known. And most of the New Testament, tell me it's not a relevant movie, incredibly well done. Not one of those horrible, geeky Christian movies, but it's just well done, okay? And it powerfully touched my life with the power of the Word of God that will truly affect you and change your world. And I would encourage every single person to get here tonight, be here. If you haven't seen it, get here and watch it. How do you think 10 spies? The Apostle Paul. I mean, if we took the words of Apostle, I'll get it up the right way, if we took the writings of the Apostle Paul and ripped them out, which I did one day at Bible college, and if we ripped them out and threw them away, we've pretty much got nothing to stand on, okay? And I was in a debate. Don't get disappointed about that. I was in a debate at Bible college, won the debate, but the debate was about just trying to get it clear in my head now what it was about. It was about do we believe in capital punishment? Which we won't start that debate in church because we believe in the grace of God. Love and the grace of God, okay? But nonetheless, they just said, they numbered us 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and you're a 1 or a 2. And then they said, and you, Don, because your name is Don, and you are born leader, strong, mighty ruler. Thank you, Pam, for those lovely birthday socks. But they must have known that at Bible college. It's a prophetic destiny over my name. And they said, so you might have been number two, but you're the leader of all the twos in this room. That's what they said to me at Bible. I didn't want to be the leader, man. I want to be like the guy who's fooling around and writing notes to the person on the other side of the room and firing darts around the room. I didn't want to be the leader. And they said, well, you're the leader, and here's the part. You're either for capital punishment or you're against it. And they said, you are going to be the leader of we're against capital punishment. When in actual fact, I wanted to be the one for it. No. That was where I was right then. I've moved now. God's dealt with that attitude. But nonetheless, that's where I was. So in my debate of dealing with a bunch of all the ones in the class who were, they were for capital punishment. Just trying to get my story right. I was against it. Yeah, I told you that. I was against it. They were for it, okay? And so I had to convince them that they were wrong and I was right. So what I did, I brought a Bible into the room. I'd made it up out of an old book, painted it gold, glitty gold and all that, and had it looking really cool, like a holy Bible written on the front of it. And then I said, all of you people, and this was a debate. I had my 8 people with me. We were standing at the front. I had one of them with a guitar. And I said, all of you people who are for capital punishment, you apparently have never read the story of the Apostle Paul on the movies tonight, who killed Christians because of their faith, who took them out, who had no mercy for those who had mercy and kindness. He would take them out. And I said, one day this man has an encounter with God on the Damascus Road and it changes his entire life and changes the history of the new world. And I said, today we've got a Bible. And I said, you all who disagree, who believe in capital punishment, would have had Saul murdered for what he did. And then I grabbed all these pages out of the New Testament, ripped them out and threw them on the floor. And I said, you wouldn't even have a Bible left. Then I had a friend there who was playing the guitar, and I said, what about John Newton, who ran a slave ship and would go and take slaves out of Africa and put them on a ship, and they would be sick and dying in the galley, and baby would start to cry, and it would annoy this guy, John Newton, so he'd smash the baby on the mast and then throw it overboard to the sharks. God forbid. The mother would scream, so he'd throw her over too. And then one night in a storm, man, you ever been in a storm at sea? I've been there. It'll make you want to know where God is, I can tell you. And if you don't know God, right, there's not one person on a ship in a storm who doesn't know God. Not one person. I've been there. Been there with a bunch of atheists who didn't want to pray, but boy, they wanted to pray when the storm hit. Anyway, he threw the baby and the mother over. And then he had a God encounter, and he got down on his knees on that ship. And I did this to the class, you can imagine it. And my Bible college, whatever he was, the owner of the Bible college, what is he, the principal, he was sitting in the back because he judged it. And then I said, how many of you, I said, I doubt there's a Christian in the room. There's a Bible college, okay? And then I said, because this man experienced the grace of God, even at that moment after horrible acts of defiling humanity, falls to his knees and cries out, God, can you forgive me? And then went away, and I got my guitarist playing, and we started singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But now I see. And right then I gave an altar call in our own Bible college. And almost every student got up and came and knelt at the altar, weeping their hearts out. Then the principal of the college sent up and said, McDonnell, you are disqualified. You evangelist, you. You're not here to evangelize people, you're here to win a debate. But I got the entire Bible college saved that day. Anyway, I finally ended up winning. I debated then with the superintendent of the Bible college and ended up winning the debate. So, trying to think why I even told you that story. Oh, because this book is filled with amazing promises written by the Apostle Paul, who you'll see on a movie tonight, who didn't even realize that his writings would be incredibly powerful to us in 2018, that we could find truth, that we could find victory, that we could walk by faith and not by sight, that we could be overcomers instead of falling victim to the circumstances, that we could be more than conquerors through Christ who lives in us, that when we walk through the pain and the horror of someone in our family dying, experiencing horrible death and circumstances that we don't understand and we can't get our heads around, that we could put our faith in a God who has already won the victory for us. He loves you, friend, and he wants you to be strong and he wants you to be steady. Let's put our trust in Jesus Christ this morning. Is that okay for a word for Sunday morning? Let's have our trust in Jesus Christ. I got a lot of, I'm going to just give you, before I do run from this thing here, I wish I could tell you it gets better, because everybody wants to know it's going to get better. But here's what I'm going to tell you as I finish this message today. It doesn't get better. Sorry, a lot of disappointed faces in the crowd right now. It doesn't get better, but I can tell you, you do. You get a lot better through every battle you go through. You get stronger. You get more courageous. You deal better with the circumstances, and you become a lot wiser, and your light shines a lot brighter. I want to say, church, I want to say, Inspire Church, get ready for what God's about to do in the next season in our lives, because I believe some strong, victorious, overcoming people are going to rise out of what God's doing right now in our church. Amen. Let me finish just with a couple of points for you, some life keys that I put in as principles in my life that helped us to live out, okay? I've decided to live every day as if it was my last. To live every day as if it was my last. I'm not relying on the future. I'm not waiting for the good times to come. I will live today like it's my last. And I will make a difference. I'll live passionate. I'll get excited. I'll realize that the last chapter hasn't even been written yet. And I want to be a part of the writing of it. So I'm going to turn up in Jesus' name with light shining out of my life and make a difference. The two most important days in your life are the day you were born, which was me just the other day, celebrating what God born me into. The day you were born and the day you find out why. Why was I born? I was born to make a difference in Jesus' name. Live for it and live for your moment in Jesus' name, okay? Always moving. But my emphasis is always moving forward. Don't stop, don't stagnate, but go for God and what he's got for your life. Number two, don't stay the same. Don't stay the same. I want to be consistently learning, consistently being renewed, and renewing my mind. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to be that person. Paul said, we're hard pressed on every side, but we don't quit because we refuse to stay the same. Okay? Caleb. See, what was it about Caleb and Joshua? Wasn't that they had a different upbringing. It was just a decision they made on the moment. Let's not stay the same. Number three, be a record breaker. I was born in 1953, the same year that Edmund Hillary conquered Everest. And you've got to tell me there's something in that would cause me to know that I was born in a year where God was establishing something of leaders who would conquer mountains in Jesus' name. And I refuse to be limited by the circumstances of my life. Number four, stay hungry. I'm as hungry today as I ever was. I want more of God right now. Be hungry. Decide. Write in your journal today. I'm going to get hungrier than I ever was. I want the Spirit of God in my life. I want to be on fire for the moment in Jesus' name. Number five. Know, and I got this off my daughter, Christy. Know how to bounce back. When you're down, bounce. What's in you that would stop you from bouncing? Why haven't you got some air in you? Come up on the altar this morning, get filled with the Holy Spirit so you've got some air so you'll bounce a little bit. When they bounce you, when they whack you and you go down, do you just stay down like a dead duck? Or does the fire in you bounce you back up and ready to go again, sparring and ready? In Jesus' name. We need to know how to bounce back. We need to know that the Bible says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Come on, saints. Therefore, Paul said this again, 2 Corinthians, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, we get strong on the inside and we go again in Jesus' name. Number six, be courageous. Be courageous. Just make a decision that you are the salt of the earth and today you're going to live courageous. Number seven, activate one action point each week. Every week I decide one thing I'm going to do in that week that will be great, that will bring glory to the God I serve. And number eight, and my last thought for you today is know how to forgive. Know how to forgive. You just live better when you forgive. I had to forgive Dave the other day for cutting my hot pot water pipe off when he came to help. And he sawed through it with his fancy, what's that saw called? Not a jigsaw, saber saw. Your saber saw. And he cut off my hot pipe. I had to crawl under the floor and try to steam and hot water and put the pipe back together. And you could easily get mad at him, but I just forgive him. He was helping, exactly. He was helping. And if I didn't forgive him, he wouldn't come again next week. It just helps to forgive. If we want to be a family and we want to be together again next week, you've got to forgive. It's easy to forgive when they're not to forgive when they're not close enough to you. You know, it's like stuff you, I don't know you. Let's have a community that knows each other and love each other enough that we want to journey together into the future and be powerful and strong tomorrow, not just today. Forgive. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the goodness of your word and thank you for the victory of your word. God, we thank you that this is a great day. God, this is a day of victory in our world. Thank you that today you are healing, restoring, and bringing victory to people. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe today you're here. God has spoken to your heart. Maybe today you're not right with God. You don't know that incredible love and gift of salvation. Yeah, I know. We're a church that believes, and we stand upon it. And I, my personal self, stand upon the philosophy that we want you to belong before you believe, that we want you to be a part of our community and understand our love, our generosity, and our kindness before we make you into something that you never knew what it was about. But we want you to encounter the love of God in our services and have a moment where God totally changes your heart, because God is about changed lives, changed hearts. He's not about stamping out people who wear a badge that says I'm a Christian. God wants changed hearts and changed lives. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Don, I need to get God's love in my life. I want his forgiveness. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Maybe that's you today. And maybe you've come to that place of decision. Can I ask you just to lift your hand right now if that's you? Don, I need to get right with God. I want to know the power of his love in my life. And I want to give my life, my whole life, to Jesus Christ. If that's you, real quick, why don't you just lift your hand before I close this service. I want to pray with you and believe with you today before we go. Is that anybody here? Lift your hand quickly. I don't want to miss you. I really feel there's somebody here today that your heart's pumping on the inside and you're ready to make that great decision, the greatest decision of your life, and say, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. If that's you, just one more moment right now, right across this place, if that's you, why don't you just respond by saying, God, here's the keys to my life. Here's the keys to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning?